الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. نويت سنة الاعتكاف. The messenger of Rahmah, the intercessor of this ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, stated, O people, the individual who will receive salvation quickly from the extreme difficulties of the Day of Judgment will be that individual from amongst you who would have recited durood excessively upon me in this world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. One day Hazrat Sayyiduna Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullah alayhi was delivering a speech, and a deserving person, a poor individual, asked him for 4 dirhams, 4 silver coins. So Hazrat Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi ta'ala, he announced in front of the audience, he said, I will make 4 du'as for any individual who offers this poor man 4 silver coins. So at that very moment, a slave was walking past that congregation, that mefil, and he happened to have heard Hazrat Mansur bin Ammar, his announcement, and so he stopped and he decided to give the beggar, the poor man, 4 silver coins. Hazrat Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullah alayh, this wali of Allah ta'ala, he asked the slave, tell me what 4 du'as you would wish for me to make for you. And the slave, he requested humbly, he said, Huzur, please pray that I be freed by my master. Dua number 1. Dua number 2, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward me for donating these 4 silver coins to a poor needy person. Dua number 3, please pray that Allah ta'ala grant me and my master the tawfiq to repent. And the fourth and final dua, Huzur, please pray that I and your entire audience and my master are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullah alayhi raised his hands and he made dua, and he made these 4 prayers for the slave. And later on that day, the slave, he returned to his master, to his home, and upon the master's inquiring the reason for his delay, he shared the incident, and that Mansur bin Ammar made 4 du'as for me. His master asked him, what was the first du'a? And the slave humbly replied, that Huzur, the first du'a that I asked Hazrat Mansur to make for me, please make du'a that I be made free. I be set free by my master. Hearing this, his master instantly said, go, you are free. Then he asked, what was the second dua? And the slave replied, Huzur, the second dua, I wished to see a replacement for the 4 dirhams that I gave to the poor person. In response to this, the master gave him 4,000 dirhams as a reward for giving 4 dirhams to a poor person. Then the master asked, what was your third dua? And the slave, he replied, Huzur, the third dua that I wished for was that I and you have the tawfiq to repent from our sins. Hearing this third dua, his master started making istighfar and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And he said, I repent in the court of Allah for all of my sins. And then the master asked the final and fourth dua, what was it? And the slave replied, Huzur, I asked, my final dua request was that I, you and everyone in the congregation be forgiven. Our maghfirat, we be granted maghfirat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But hearing this, the master said, that's not in my control. I've done the three things that I had some control over. But the fourth one, forgiveness, this is not in my control. This is up to the mercy and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That same night, the master, when he slept, he had a dream. In a dream, he heard someone saying, you did whatever you could. I am Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful, all merciful ones. I have forgiven you, your slave, Mansur, and all of his audience. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers, this story, it demonstrates and illustrates how anyone, a ghulam, a slave, did sadaqah. That someone you would not expect to do sadaqah and donate in the path of Allah ta'ala. A slave is usually poor. Even if you are struggling, we should do sadaqah, not just when we are rich and we're comfortable. Do sadaqah even when you're struggling. We should change our attitudes. Sadaqah is even more important. If you've got financial problems, it's even more important that you do some sadaqah, even if it's 50p. Because if you've got problems, if you've got financial problems, you need more barakat. You're having troubles, you need more barakat in your sustenance. So someone who's poor or who's having financial difficulties, even if it's 50p a day, do sadaqah. So you should change your attitudes and not just think of sadaqah as something you do when you've got loads and loads of extra money. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us generous people. The fuqaha say, it's important that it's wajib for fathers and parents to teach their children, to impart into their children's hearts the lesson of jood and sakha, generosity. Wajib. You have to teach your children generosity. Why? Because when you teach your children generosity and teach them to give, then this will uproot the love of the dunya from their hearts. And the love of the dunya is the root of all evils. The root of all guna, all sin, is the love of the dunya. So teach your children from an early age to give and to be generous. It's wajib for a father to teach his children that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the very first ayahs of the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنِ الشَّيْطَانُ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The translation from Kanzul Iman, those who believe without seeing and establish namaz and spend in our path from what we have provided them. So مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. This is a quality and attribute of good Muslims. Spending. Infaq fi sabilillah. Spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So spending in the path of Allah ta'ala. Now this means either giving zakat or even nafali charities. So not just wajib, necessary charities, but the nafali ones as well. And in Tafsir Khazainul Irfan, it states that even in Nafri Sadaqah, when we talk about voluntary Sadaqah, this also includes things like Diyarvi Sharif, or Fatiha, or someone's Tija, or Chaliswa. These are also Nafri Sadaqah as well. So the definition of Sadaqah, my dear brothers, is that we should give, Sadaqah is to give in the path of Allah without the purpose of getting praise from people. In fact, but with the intention to attain reward from the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the fuqaha say that, you know, sadaqah, it comes from the word sidq. And sidq means truth. It means truth, sachai. And sadaqah is called sadaqah because giving sadaqah is a sign of the truth of your iman. It's a sign of the truth of your iman. And the scholars also explain that in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some munafiqeen as well. There were hypocrites, people who pretended to be Muslims but were not really Muslims on the inside. And they would pray namaz and do other ibadat as well. But sadaqah was something that even they were afraid to do. Because naturally humans love their wealth, their money. It's close to us in our heart. It's very difficult to part from your money. So sadaqah was very difficult that even some people who managed to become namazis, but remain kanjus or bakhil or stingy. So sadaqah is about really, you know, removing the love of the dunya from your hearts. So sadaqah, money is very close to the heart, and your heart follows your money as well. One riwayat, you know, the aslaf say that agar kisi ka masjid mein dil nahi lagta, if you, you know, find that you feel restless inside the masjid and you don't enjoy coming, you're not easily inclined, one method is give sadaqah to the masjid. Because your heart will follow your money. Your heart will follow your money. Where your money is, your heart will be. So sadaqah shuru mein mushkil hota hai. It's hard when you have a habit. Shuru mein, you know, maal se, maal ki mahabbat, the love of the dunya. You know, even giving 50p or a pound, it becomes very difficult. Lekin, that's like any good adat. Any good adat is mushkil in the beginning. You have to force yourself. You have to force yourself in the beginning to do it. But once you repeatedly continue to do it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. So any good adat, any good khasilat, not just sadaqah, it's always difficult in the beginning, but never give up. Don't give up. And it becomes easier and easier by the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. You shall never attain virtue until you spend in Allah's cause the things that you love. And Allah is aware of whatever you spend. So this ayah kareemah is saying, spend what you love, what is mahbub to you, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, shakar ki boriyan khareed kar sadaqa karte the. He used to buy sacks of sugar and donate them. And someone asked him, Huzoor, why don't you just give the money for the sugar? Why do you specifically have to buy the sugar and donate it? And he said, because I'm fond of sugar. And I want to donate in the path of Allah the thing that I like for myself. So because this ayah kareemah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You spend that which you love, that which you love yourself and you hold dear. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Sirkari Dualim صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not stop your hand, do not withhold your money. Otherwise Allah Ta'ala will stop His blessings from you. Will stop His blessings. Sirkari Dualim صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, he asked the Sahaba Ikram a question and he said, who amongst you likes the wealth of your inheritors more than your own wealth? Inheritors and your own. And the Sahaba Ikram replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, out of our own wealth, what belongs to us and what belongs to our inheritors, everyone loves, naturally loves their own wealth. And then Sarkari Madina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, your wealth is what you send forward for the akhirat. What you spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala, that's your wealth. The wealth that you leave behind when you die, that's not yours, that belongs to your inheritors. So the mafhum of this hadith of Bukhari Sharif is that your wealth haqiqatan is not the thing that you've got in your hand, the thing that you've got in your pockets, in your banks, our wealth you send forward to the akhirat, to the akhirat. Let's hear some ahadith mubarakah about the blessings of giving sadaqah in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Hadith Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as-sadaqatu tasuddu sab'ina baban min as-su'. Sadaqah closes 70 doors of evil. Hadith number 2, Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every person shall be under the shade of his sadaqah on the day of judgment. Hadith number 3. Undoubtedly, sadaqah protects its giver from the heat of the grave. And no doubt, a Muslim will be under the shade of his sadaqah on Judgment Day. Hadith number 4. Namaz is a burhan, it's evidence for your iman. Roza is a shield from sins. And sadaqah will erase your sins the way water extinguishes fire. Hadith number 5. Give sadaqah early in the morning, because calamities do not exceed your sadaqah. Calamity cannot step ahead of your sadaqah. Hadith number 6. Undoubtedly, the sadaqah of a Muslim increases his age and prevents bad death, and Allah Azza wa Jalla removes arrogance and pride from the donor. So this hadith mentions several benefits of sadaqah. It gives you barakah in your life, it saves you, protects you from a bad death, and it removes pride, takabbur and fakhr, kibr. It removes it from your heart. And we all know that these are two major sins. Takabbur, fakhr, pride, self-conceit, khud pasandi, these are sins. Sadaqah ki barakat se Allah Ta'ala in bimariyon se, kalbi bimariyon se bhi chutkara ata farma deta hai. Hadith number 7. When you give sadaqah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sadaqah will become a shield, a barrier, a wall for you between you and the fire of hell. It will protect you from the fire of hell. Hadith number 8. Undoubtedly, sadaqah extinguishes the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, the ghazab of Allah Ta'ala, and prevents a bad death. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sadaqah saves us from problems. It doesn't mean, look, you may give sadaqah and you might still have problems in your life. That doesn't mean that the hadiths are wrong. Sometimes even if you give sadaqah, you'll have problems, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. Azmaish, ibtila, imtihan. There's some imtihan, there's some hikmat in the azmaish as well. So even if you give sadaqah and you have a problem, don't lose faith in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and think that I was expecting to have no problems because I gave sadaqah. Don't lose faith in the hadith. Understand that there's some hikmat, some azmaish and some test in this problem for me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people are blessed, they have good intentions. You know, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. Some people are poor and they want to give sadaqah, but they can't because they don't have the means, they don't have the physical means. But they have that desire, that urge, that intention. And even if a poor person has the intention of giving in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and he doesn't, he still gets the sawab of sadaqah because of his intention. In fact, Sarkari Du Alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that poor people who have a desire to donate but cannot, they will have the highest ranks. They will have the highest ranks. Here's a story about the blessings of sadaqah. An individual came to Basra from Khurasan and entrusted 10,000 silver coins to a famous saint in Basra, Hazrat Sayyidina Habib Ajami Rahmatullah. And the individual, he entrusted the money to Hazrat Habib Ajami and he said, Huzur, buy a house for me in Basra and I'm going to leave, I'm going to Makkatul Mukarramah for some business. On my return, I expect you to have bought a house for me. So he trusted this wali with his money and trusted him to make a decision to buy property on his behalf in his absence. So he left for Makkatul Mukarramah. In the meantime, the people of Basra were facing hard times due to the inflated price of flour. So Hazrat Sayyidina Habib Ajami Rahmatullah Alayh bought flour with those 10,000 dirhams and donated them for the people. Someone reminded Hazrat Habib Ajami, ki Huzur, that money is not yours to spend. The individual who gave you that money gave it to for you to buy him some property. Sayyidina Habib Ajami Rahmatullah Alayh replied, I bought a house for him in heaven. If he agrees, then so be it. If he doesn't agree, I'll return his 10,000 dirhams to him. When the individual, the owner of the money, returned from Makkah al-Mukarramah and he came to Basra, and he asked Huzur, Hazrat Habib Ajami rahmatullahi, have you bought me the property? The Buzurg, the friend of Allah Ta'ala, he replied, yes, I've bought your property with palaces and streams and trees. He became delighted. He said, Huzur, I wish to see it instantly. Hazrat Habib Ajami rahmatullahi replied, your property lies in heaven from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hearing this, he became delighted. And the man, his wife said, this is a friend of Allah, is a wali. Get this wali to write this on a piece of paper for you. So Hazrat Sayyidina Habib Ajami rahmatullahi wrote, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is a property document for a property that Habib Ajami has bought inside paradise with his palaces, streams and trees for such and such an individual for 10,000 dirhams. Now it is at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala to fulfill this guarantee of Habib Ajami. He wrote this on a piece of paper. Sometime later, the individual passed away, he died. But before dying, he asked the people, he said, when I die, bury this with me, this piece of paper. After his burial, the next morning, people noticed, the awam noticed a letter on his grave. And he had a message on top of it. This is a letter of salvation for Habib Ajami and his friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted that person his palace in paradise. Hazrat Habib Ajami rahmatullahi took the letter and began to cry and wept bitterly and said that this is a letter of bara'at and salvation for me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the pious awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selling palaces of paradise whilst walking on the earth. This is the yaqeen, the husn zan that they have, and the tawakkul and the faith that they have in their creator, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's pious people. And remember, he spent it, you know, looking after poor people, looking after needy people. There was famine, there was a need for food. So hamdardi, compassion, is a pillar of Islam. But this was a wali. You know, remember, we aren't allowed, if someone entrusts, the shari masala is someone, an ordinary Muslim is not allowed to just start spending money that someone else has given to him for a specific purpose. That it's an amanat, it's a trust. You have to look after it. And we can't just go and start doing sadaqah on our own behalf. Here's another story about unique tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that once a poor man asked her for something. And she was fasting. And she had nothing except a roti. And she told her maid to give him the roti. The maid said that, Sayyida, there's nothing else left for your iftari, for you to open your fast. But she said, give him the roti, give him the bread. There's so many examples, my dear brothers, of donating and sadaqah, of generosity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so many ahadith. Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, many sinners, many gunahgar people of the religion will enter paradise by virtue of their generosity. Sakhawat ki wajah se bahut se gunahgar log bhi jannat mein dakhil honge. Hazrat Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem stated, spend if you are rich and spend even if you are poor, in both cases. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. And remember, especially, you know, the needy students of deen. There's specific barakat for spending on needy students of deen. Students in madaris who leave their homes for the sake of Islam, for the sake of learning the deen. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi narrates that there was one particular Islamic scholar he would prefer to give to poor Sufis when giving sadaqah than other poor people. And he was humbly asked, Huzoor, isn't it better if you give sadaqah to the common poor people? And he replied that these righteous people, these Sufis, are always busy with the zikr and fikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. If they face any starvation or trouble, it will disturb their Islamic activities. So in my opinion, it is better to give sadaqah to one truthful Islamic practicing Muslim. It is better to give sadaqah to him than to 1,000 other needy people. 1,000 other needy people. When Hazrat Junayd al-Baghdadi radiallahu ta'ala heard of this opinion, he admired it and he approved of it. And he commented that this is one of the pious saints of Allah Azza wa Jal. I've never heard such a beautiful thing as this. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi, one of the most unique and outstanding students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, he would especially do good and donate and be generous to learned people, to ulama. And he was humbly asked, why don't you distribute equally amongst all poor people, the ulama and the non-ulama, the non-scholars as well? And he replied, his answer was, the reason I spend especially on ulama and religious students is that after the prophets, alayhi musallam, I do not consider anyone's status to be elevated except Islamic scholars. The greatest martaba is the ulama after the anbiya and the sahaba. If a single Islamic scholar's attention is distracted due to his needs, he will not be able to serve Islam in a proper way and he will not be able to pay proper attention to his Islamic education. Therefore, it is better to keep them free of their needs for scholarly services. My dear brothers, Dawat-e-Islami needs your donations as well. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is doing work of the deen in approximately 104 departments, different departments. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, if you help Allah, Allah will help you. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. Allah ta'ala doesn't need our help. But what the ayat kareema means is if you help the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you help the religion of Allah, Allah ta'ala will help you. And we have so many remarkable, incredible examples of sadaqah. You know, we often quote the sadaqah and the sacrifice of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, donating all his wealth. All is well for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of Dawat-e-Islami's Madani works is to act upon the Madani In'amat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. These Madani In'amat are questions. This is a way of becoming a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one brother who was traveling in a Madani Kafila in Balochistan in Pakistan. And he was someone who was regular in filling his Madani Namat. And during the journey, he was blessed with a vision of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he dreamt of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying in his dream that the people who carry out fikr in Medina, who practice their Madani Inamat daily in Madani Kafilis, I will take them to paradise with me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam. Mufti Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi alayhi ishaad farmaate hain ki sadaqa dene mein thori cheez ko bhi hakeer na jaana. Don't even consider a small donation as bad. Agar che zyada ki istitaat bhi ho, 70 shaitan sadqe se baaz rakhte hain. Hadith Sharif mein irshad hua hai ki insaan apna sadqa 70 shaitanon ke jabre cheer kar nikalta hai. So shaitan hates donating. 70 devils, not just one, 70 will try to prevent you from donating even a small amount. So even if you can give a small amount, give it. When you give sadaqah, it's as though you rip, you tear through the jaws of 70 devils. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sadaqah, my dear brothers, and if you look on, if you look at psychological research these days, it even shows that, you know, psychologically, generosity, the asr that it has on our minds. Studies now show that generosity is actually It doesn't just benefit other people, it psychologically benefits us ourselves as well. Practicing generosity is a mental health principle, and it could be the very key to a happy and healthy life. Year after year, more and more studies are highlighting the benefits of generosity on both our physical and mental health. Not only does generosity reduce stress, support your physical health, enhance your sense of purpose, and naturally fight depression, it is also shown to increase one's lifespan. This is medical research that increases lifespan. And we've heard a hadith that sadaqah dene se umar mein barakat hoti hai, umar barhti. And these are non-Muslim psychologists and scientists are saying the same thing. If a longer, less stressful and more meaningful life is not enough to inspire you to rev up your practice of generosity, consider that generosity also promotes a social connection and improves relationships. When we give to others, we also feel closer. We not only make them feel closer to us, we also feel closer to them. Being generous also makes us feel better about ourselves. Generosity is both a natural confidence builder and a natural repellent of self-hatred. By focusing on what we are giving rather than on what we are receiving, we create a more outward orientation toward the world, which shifts our focus away from ourselves. These are just a few of the things, but if you search the internet, the positive things about sadaqah, about charity, and the good thing about, in this country, official authorities recognize the people who are most generous people in Britain are Muslims. There are many avenues that people donate to in this country. People donate a lot to, medical research, medical institutes, cancer hospitals, etc. So this is being recognized on a government level. The Alhamdulillah, and this is the teachings of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's an established fact that British Muslims are the most generous givers of charity in this country. So namaz strengthens our relationship with our Creator, but zakat and charity strengthens our relationship with His creation. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam. The amazing examples we have, my dear brothers. Sayyidah Ummul Mumineen Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, aapne ek waqt mein 50,000 dirham khairat kiye the. 50,000 silver coins she donated. Aur apni zati halat ye thi, apne kapron mein paiband lage the aur naye kapre bhi nahi banwaye. She had patches in her own clothes, radiallahu ta'ala anha. But in that state, instead of being concerned about buying new clothes for herself, she's donating 50,000 silver coins in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala once went on behalf of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to collect zakat from the Sahaba. And he returned to the Holy Prophet alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, who is not paying his zakat. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, you're asking him for zakat? He's donated everything he has in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's not giving zakat because he doesn't have money, he's not eligible for it. Zakat is compulsory when you meet a certain threshold. Sometimes, and it's not a lot, it can be 250 or 300 pounds, depending on the rates of silver. And you see, if you have a certain nisab for the whole year, then you pay zakat, you have to pay 2.5% of it. If someone at the end of the year, or someone doesn't meet that threshold, he doesn't have to pay zakat. So many awliya, the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, didn't pay zakat, because he never saved money for it to become incumbent upon him. He never saved money. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us generous people, and remove the love of dunya, the love of maal, and greed and gluttony from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand this and be generous Muslims. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.